This is what matters most, and I'm Matt Popovitz. Look, life is crazier than ever, and lots of people, maybe even you, are feeling anxious and overwhelmed. Today's message is designed to help you figure out what's most important and to experience the peace and joy that God intends for you. Because life is a gift, and it shouldn't be wasted on worry. I'd like to give you a resource, something to help you navigate the road ahead. Just go to mattpopovitz.com, click on the icon, and we'll send it to you. That's mattpopovitz.com. And hey, if you happen to live in the Houston area, I'd love to see you on a Sunday morning at St. Mark in Spring Branch. Head to stmarkhouston.org to plan your visit. Here's today's message. Thanks for listening.
So let me begin with this question. First things first, what is your picture of God? What is your picture of God? Now, I would argue to you that most people's understanding of God's involvement in this world can be put into one of three buckets. You either believe that God is absent, or he's simply observing, or he's very active. Your view of God falls in one of three categories. He's absent, he's observing, or he's active. So many people have a view of God that says he's absent. If he exists, he's nowhere near us. If he exists, he's off playing golf somewhere because he's clearly not influencing what happens here. He's absent. We're on our own. And you look at the headlines, you look at the corruption in humanity, you look at the problems that we've yet to solve. And for someone who has this worldview, it's all evidence of the fact that God may exist, but he's far away from here. He's absent. Second major worldview concerning God's activity is that God is simply observing, that he's real, that he's present, but he's very hands-off. He's like one of those parents who lets their kids do whatever and learn lessons on their own, right? We call those parents annoying, right? He's very hands-off. He's here and he cares about us, but he's letting the world kind of run on its own. He keeps his hands off of it and things just kind of happen. He's observing. And then the third view would be that God is active, that he's not just out there somewhere, that he's not just standing next to the world, but that he's working and he's active and he's somehow present and making his power known in this world. For Christians, that third view has always been our view. And the reason we believe that God is not simply absent or observing, but is active in this world is because the scriptures that we uphold as a vehicle for God's truth lead us to believe nothing else, other than the fact that God is intimately involved in this world. For example, I'll give you two psalms, Psalm 145 and Psalm 147. Let me just read selections from these. The Psalms, if you don't know, is essentially a songbook largely written by a man named David who lived thousands of years ago, and they were the worship songs of the church years and years and years ago. So we had songs we sang tonight. These would be the songs and the poems that the church would sing thousands of years ago, and we have them collected together. Most were written by David, some were written by Moses, others were written by a collection of people whose job it was to be the singers and the leaders of the church. Psalm 145 says this, "You," reference to God, "you open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing." Is that a picture of a God who is absent or who is active? Who's active, very good. That was a softball, they're gonna get harder from here. Listen to this. This is now selections from Psalm 147. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. He strengthens the bars of your gates." In other words, he keeps your city safe. "He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel." In other words, he speaks to those who are his people. Is that a picture of a God who is absent or simply observing, or a God who is active? A God who is active. Again, look at this. He's actively helping people who are hurting. He's actively putting food on the table and in the trees for the animals. He's strengthening the bars of your gates. He's the one who's keeping things safe that are safe. He's blessing your children. Now, the question for thinking people is, if this is true, how in the world is he doing that? Because God is not simply walking up and down the street like Santa Claus handing out things. You need some healing? Let me go in my bag. There you go. It's not like we wake up every morning and someone has sprinkled magic God dust over things and suddenly we have money in our bank, or we have healing in our bones, or we have food on our table. So if God is doing these things, if he's healing, if he's providing, if he's helping, if he is intimately involved in the mechanics of making this world happen, the question is, how is he doing this? How? If this is true, then how? Because I don't see him. And the answer for thinking Christians is this. Well, he's doing that through you. He's providing through you. He's healing through you. He's protecting through you. He's doing the things that this world needs through the people of this world. Hundreds of years ago, some really smart Christian thinkers that we tend to refer to as the Reformers, they were wrestling with this idea of how God provides in this world and is active in this world through other people. And one of the great ones, Martin Luther, came up with this phrase to describe your job and my job and everybody else's job. And he describes our jobs as masks of God. Your job, everybody's job, is a mask of God. In other words, it may look like you slaving away writing an article. It may look like you sitting there creating a piece of art. It may look like me preparing for Sunday worship. It may look like somebody else baking early in the morning so that you have food on your way as you walk to the train. It may look like that, and it involves those people, but really, behind it all is who? Behind it all is God. He could take the mask of the baker, of the policeman, of the artist off, and he would say, see, don't you see, it's really me. Like, you see all these people working, but behind the mask is me. I'm the one providing. And for people who integrate their faith and their work, the first step is realizing that. It is not about adding something extra into my labor, but understanding that the divine is working in and through and providing in my labor. So now if we take this idea that all work are masks of God, that he's bringing beauty, truth, and providence into this world through us, that he's behind it all, let's look at the two things that he provides so we can have a deeper understanding of this. And I would say first things first, your job, all jobs, are a vehicle for God's providence. I've talked about this a little bit already. The work that you do is a vehicle for God's providence, for his provision. Theologians would call this the primary gift of your work, where he's using your work to meet real needs in this world. Very often as people, even if we're unbelieving people, we will say things like this: God healed me. Well, how does God heal? God heals through the doctor and the radiologist and the x-ray tech. That's how God heals. Oh man, I prayed this morning that God would give me my daily bread. And you know what? I have food on the table. How did God do that? God did that through the baker and the stock boy and the woman who designed and programmed the website that they order bread through. That's how God did that. God protected me. How did God protect you? God provided that protection to the police officer, the TSA agent. Yes, the TSA agent. He provided that protection through the dad who gets up in the middle of the night when he hears something bump in the apartment and his wife needles him in the bed and says, go see what that is. God provides protection through that. We say God spoke to me. How did God speak to me? God speaks to me through the gallery owner and the artist who bring truth to light in the work that they do. That's how God speaks to this world. God provided for me. How did God provide for me? God provided for you through the equity manager who makes sure that your retirement account is well funded. God provided for you for the parent who got up early and made breakfast for you. That's how God has provided for you. We often think that the intersection of faith and work is about taking something extra of God and smothering it all over our work. But it's about seeing that God is active and keeping the world running through my work. So now the question is this: what is God providing the world through your work? And you may look at the things that you do and you may say, well, he ain't providing nothing. But the truth is, you are part of some system, of some economy that God is using to provide goods to this world. And you may not personally value what you do, but I guarantee somebody else out there values what you do. So what is it? What's the good that you're providing that is a mask of God that this world needs? And have you ever stopped to think of the work that you do is not just mundane? It may very well be mundane, but it is also divine. That the woman who cleans your hotel room after you leave is not just providing for her family, but she is ensuring that that is a clean place, so that the next person who's there has a fantastic experience. And so that after the accumulation of guests, that is still a clean place for you to be, so that the person who's there doesn't get sick, so that they don't get sick, so that they can provide for their family. And that by doing the work that nobody else wants to do is keeping the world running for so many of us. And that that's not just her providing for her family, but that is the divine providing for you. You know these words if you grew up going to Sunday school. Listen to this. He says in Matthew chapter 22, he says, here's the summary of everything that I've ever taught. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So as you're sitting at your cubicle, as you're writing a song, as you're rehearsing, it's about you honoring God for the gifts that you've been given and the platform, the opportunity that you have. But it's also, this is the second commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. As you work, as you labor, as you read the reports, as you close the deal, your job is to love your neighbor as yourself. As you write, as you labor, as you work, your job is to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all of the prophets, which means your work is not about you. It is simply a vehicle that God has placed you in so that you might bless other people. And this is at odds with the standard secular view of work. The rest of the world believes that work is about me. That my work is about my self-actualization. It's a means for me to become the best version of me. That it is a platform for my evolutionary advancement, that it's about me. And if it happens to bless others, well, that's great. But that's still secondary to the primary goal, which is to bless who? Me. And this is where followers of Jesus Christ are supposed to be really strange. Because our calling is to see our job in this light. We say, you know what? I have in Christ things that my job can never give to me. I have a wholeness and a peace and an identity that can't be taken from me, but also can't be earned by me. I am right with my maker. I am whole. I know that this world is passing away and a new kingdom is being born. And so I invest in this world, but I don't obsess over this world. And I have a peace that is apart from my work. So now I am free to use my work, not just to build up myself. I have what I need, but to bless those who are around me. Which means if I meet my needs, but I live on a little less extravagance so that somebody else can be blessed by what I earn, I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. Because I have what I need. See how weird that is, especially in New York City? You ever watch Million Dollar Listing? I love that show. But in so many ways, it is like an example of like, you got these three guys who are just building up their own empires, right? You know, and I mean, that's and obviously that's what the city's about, so you can't really blame them. It's kind of the ethos here, right? Just building up their own empires. And it's really intriguing and it's really enticing, right? But that's where followers of Jesus, we are at odds with this stuff. Because we're saying, no, I'm okay. So now I can use my work, not just to bless me. I got to bless me. I got to bless my family. I get that. But there's a point at which I'm going to be fine and everybody else could be better. And so I'm going to focus on everybody else. And for Christians, this is where we are either spot on or we are the greatest suckers in the world. If God is real, and this is really the point and purpose of our work, then we are spot on, and we have discovered a way to do our work that meets our needs but also provides incredible good to this world and incredible meaning and depth to our existence. We are spot on. But if God is not real, then we are the greatest suckers of all. Because while everybody else is using their work to shore up their kingdom, we're walking around giving ourselves away. But I would rather live in a world where we live like that. Because in that worldview, my work has incredible dignity and purpose, no matter what I do. You see, in the other worldview, only certain work has worth. Because some work is more necessary than others. Some work brings more acclaim than others. Some work brings more providence to me than others. But in this paradigm, the Christian paradigm, all work is divine, it's all a mask of God, and it's all desperately needed. God is using it to bless other people. And so I'm able to walk with incredible dignity. No matter what, my work is divine and desperately needed. Whether I clean the hotel or own the hotel, my work is divine. Whether I run the oil and gas company or I pump gas at the oil and gas company, my work is divine and desperately needed. Someone, somewhere needs what I'm doing.
I hope you're enjoying today's message. For more of what matters most, you can head to mattpopovitz.com. There you'll find other messages. You can support this ministry as well as access your free gift. Oh, and if you're looking for a local church and you live in Houston, come and see what's happening at St. Mark Houston. To plan your visit, head to stmarkhouston.org. Thanks for listening, and back to today's message.
Now, as just a quick aside before we finish tonight, some of you may be thinking, I get all of that, but Matt, I can't see how my work is blessing the world. I can't see how what I do is like the link in this chain of providence and the presence of God. I can't see how that is. And my encouragement to you is that that's probably for one of two reasons. It may be, and this is rare, but it's true. It may be that the line of work that you're in, and there are only a few lines in which this really applies, or the way in which your unique position is set up to do your work is flawed. Or to use a stronger phrase, corrupt. The reality is that this world is very flawed and broken, and that sin is a very real thing. And as such, even though work is a gift and God uses our work as a mask behind which he provides great things, there are certain roles and tasks that are such a warped picture of God's plan for this world that it's not necessarily something God is using to bless others, at least not in the way in which he wants to bless them. And it could be that you're in one of those. That's one reason. The likelihood, though, is that you're not in one of those. If you are, let's talk. You're not in one of those, but instead, you've got baggage. You've got baggage. You've got issues. You're in a difficult environment, but it's a legitimate one. There's some issues there that are just clouding your eyes to be able to see how God is using your work or for you to have joy in that work. And if you're in one of those two situations where you think, like, I'm probably doing something that's actually one of those few things that's probably illegitimate, or I've just got my baggage and other people can see how God is using this to bless others in some small way, but I can't see it. If you find yourselves in either one of those two situations, my encouragement for you is to make a change. Be in a job, whether it's a grand job or some job that nobody else wants, be in a job where you can see how it blesses others. Where you can draw the line between what you do and how it blesses at least one person on this planet other than yourself. Be in that place. Make that change. That's my encouragement to you. So let me close with this. I'm going to give you four little practical things because I'm all about being practical. Four little practical things. Here's how a person who connects their faith to their work operates kind of on a daily basis. First is this. You work in faith. And what I mean by that is that you work with your eyes open and the lights on. You are simply aware that your work, whatever it is you do, is a mask of God, and he's providing necessary things through it, and it can be a platform for his kingdom presence if you want it to be. That you are aware of that. You work in faith. Lights are on. Second thing is this. You work in prayer, in communication with God. Again, in appropriate ways. You're not walking like between cubicles with your hands folded and chanting. Don't do that. You'll get fired, and then you'll blame me. I don't want that email, all right? Don't do that. In appropriate ways. But as you do your job, you're asking questions. Father, help me to be good at this today because I don't often feel like I'm good at it. Father, help me to love people today because I'm surrounded by people that are really tough to love. Or I just overheard this thing about this person in their life. And so I lift them up to you and I ask that you'd show mercy to them and grace to them. You're integrating by being constantly in conversation with God in appropriate ways. Third thing, you work with pride, the good kind of pride. The pride that says, no matter what I'm doing, other people might not see the dignity of my work. I see the dignity of my work. And I see the purpose of every task. So whether I'm a CEO or I'm an actor, I see the dignity of my work. My job is to build a corporation that brings blessing to this world and provides for many, many, many families. That's my job. Or my job is to simply be a mirror to society and to show it truth. That's how I always saw acting. A mirror to society. I'm going to show you the world that we live in or the world as it can be. The world as it was. I'm going to be an appropriate mirror to this society. You have dignity in your work, and you see the purpose of every task. And then lastly, you work in the Spirit. And I mean that in a totally normal, non-crazy, charismatic way. Here at OSNY, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit with a 5-point seatbelt. It doesn't get too crazy. And what this means is we believe that I can be empowered by God in my job to make his kingdom known in small ways. And he wants to use me to embody those values in my workplace so that I'm a person of peace, of mercy, of grace, of redemption, of second chances, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just something I've received through no effort of my own, but it's something that flows through me in how I love people and how I do my job through no effort of their own, that I love them and give it away. What I've found is that for many people, there is one of those four things that's really difficult for you. And maybe for you, it's the faith thing, believing that there's a connection or just being aware of it, that God is working through your work. Or for you, it's the Spirit thing, believing that God empowers you to do your work in a certain way that you make his kingdom known. You embody those values. It's tough for you to talk to anyone other than yourself as you do your job. So maybe tonight we end by asking God to change that for you so that you might integrate. A great example of this for me came in a really unlikely place. Tim was a member of my church growing up. And Tim had Down syndrome. I only ever saw him at church, but I was at church a lot. I was one of those church kids. I only ever saw him at church, and at church he was everybody's friend and brother, right? One day I was downtown in our little town, Flushing, Michigan, and I was buying flowers at the florist shop for my girlfriend. And I was at the front counter, and I was getting ready to pay for my flowers. They were going to bring them from the back. And I looked to the back, and I saw Tim from church in the back. And he saw me, and this giant smile came across his face. And he started ushering me to the back. He started calling my name, Matt, come back here. And so, okay, all right. So I walked to the back of the room, and he shows me his work. He worked there. I didn't know he worked there. He worked at the florist. And he had a simple but really essential job. He would cut the flowers, and he would remove the thorns from the roses that I was buying to give to my girlfriend. And he showed me his work, and this huge smile across his face, and he showed me the tools that he used, and he was pointing at all of it, and he was looking at me, and he just kind of pointed at it and said, huh? Real proud of his work, rightly so. And then he gave me this big hug. I love you, Matt. He said that every time I saw him. He said that to everybody. And then gave me my flowers. And I paid for them, and I left. And for whatever reason, you know, in my youth, this was the first time that I'd ever conceived of a world where someone like Tim would serve me. The only worldview I had was one where Tim, in his sweetness and his need, was served by others. But I suddenly saw a world where him, in his work, his necessary work, he served me. And it was the first time I conceived of a world I understood that the only reason there were flowers for me to buy, for me to give to my girlfriend, my now wife, for her to receive them and to think I'm the prince that she's always wanted and to hold those flowers. Why you laugh at that? I'm prince material. And for her to hold those flowers without feeling a thorn in her flesh is because someone like Tim joyfully and carefully prepared them for me. And it was the first time I'd kind of learned a lesson about work, and I thought to myself, well, God employs everybody. And in my youth, in my inexperience, that was a profound idea. How do we connect faith and work? The primary way we connect faith and work is by believing and understanding and giving thanks that the God of our faith is active already in our work. Look at your job and ask this question: for who are you clipping the thorns, so to speak? For who are you removing the thorns? And who has God put before you to hug as you welcome them to your work table and to bless as you labor in your simple task?
Hey, it's Matt. I hope you enjoyed What Matters Most. Here's what I need you to know. Life is a gift, and it shouldn't be wasted on worry. I want to help you figure out what's most important and to experience the peace and joy that God intends for you. So for more content, you can head to mattpopovitz.com. That's mattpopovitz.com. There you can also support this ministry, as well as access your free resource, a little something to help you navigate the road ahead. I'd also love to see you on a Sunday morning. If you're in the Houston area, head to stmarkhouston.org to plan your visit. In the meantime, hit me up on Instagram, at mpopovitz, or at facebook.com/mattpopovitzministries. Thanks for listening. Now go and hold tight to what matters most.